Peya, Perek Dalid, Mishnah Tes. Misha Lokat Esa Peya. If somebody has harvested Peya, but he's not a poor person, he's a wealthy person, so the Peya cannot be for him. But he harvests it, and Amar, and he says, Harezo Leish Ploni Ani. I want this to become under the ownership of such and such a poor person who is deserving of Peya, and I want it to go specifically to him, and I want to be Kona it on his behalf. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer Zachalo. Rabbi Eliezer says that he has been acquired it on behalf of that particular poor person, and another poor person cannot take it at that point. The Chachamim Omrim, and Chachamim disagree. They say that the poor person who he is intended does not become the owner of it just because he says so, but Yitnena La'ani Shanim Tarishan has to be given to whoever Ani comes along, whatever poor person comes along first, meaning the person that he intended to give it to is not Zocha, and it does not become the owner of it. The argument that's going on here between Eliezer and the Chachamim is based on a concept known as Migu. Migu, we may be familiar with it from other places in Shas, but here it means word migu really means, which means since, or in Hebrew, it's the Aramaic term for mitoch in Hebrew, that since, or really both of them, if you think about the word migu and mitoch, both mean the same thing, migo, really, from within. It's mitoch is also from within the reasoning itself. So mitoch, from the fact that he could have been mafkir his property, this wealthy person could have given away everything that he owns and therefore become an ani, a poor person. Since he could have done that and been mafkir everything and become an ani, and since he himself could be an ani, then he has the ability also to a second mitoch, a second migu, that since he could have been zoch in the peya himself, he can be zoch in it on behalf of somebody else. The Chum say, no, you can only say one migo. You can only say one mitoch. Only one rationale. You can say, I could have been zoch in it myself, but to say two migos, you can't say. Now the Mishnah will address a completely different halacha, and that is, Haleket v'ashikcha v'apeya, not just peya, but also leket, which we mentioned is what falls off during harvesting, and shikcha, that you forget, and peya, the corner of the field. All of those, if they are shel nachri, if they are belonging to a non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael, chayev b'masros, it's still chayev in maestros, meaning to say normally leket, shikcha, and peya are not chayev in maestros, but a non-Jew, since he's not obligated to take and give leket, shikcha, and peya, so therefore his items are going to be chayev in trumas and maestros because they're not considered leket, shikcha, and peya. Ella im kein hifker, unless he goes through the formal process of being mafker and making them ownerless, then there is halacha of the fact that hefker is pater from trumas and maestros comes into play. Since he's mafkirit, so now it's, but the din of leket, shikcha, and peya doesn't exist by him, so just because he declares some of his produce to be leket, shikcha, and peya, doesn't take away from the chiyuv of meiser. Now, so the Rambam explains that this Mishnah is following Rabbi Meir's opinion throughout Shas, that ein kin l'nachri b'eretz Yisrael lafkir min ha-meisros, that the ownership of a non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael is not sufficient enough to make it the produce of that his heir, of what he owns, to make it pater from meiser. And therefore, it remains chayiv and meiser, that's why it says that it's chayiv and masros. Otherwise, a nachri himself should not be chayiv and meiser, unless you hold like Rabbi Meir that his kinyan, what he owns, his level of ownership in Eretz Yisrael is not sufficient to remove the innate chayiv of meiser. There is, however, others who understand that no, it doesn't necessarily have to follow Rabbi Meir's opinion, because this chayiv of meiser could be not min haTorah, but simply mid Rabbanan, that they said that his produce is chayiv and meiseros mid Rabbanan.